All right, are you ready to go through a list of stock characters, the cliched, stereotypical characters that we see in every piece of movie and TV? How about this one? The fantastic stock character of the absent-minded professor. Where do we find that one? Absent-minded professor. Absent-minded scientific genius. Well, what is he? Doc Brown? Is he absent-minded? He's a little absent-minded. Well, he fell off the toilet and smashed his head, and then he came up with the flux capacitor. But that's not, I mean, he busted his head, but he came up with the flux capacitor. And he's also like a 68-year-old guy who's hanging out with a 17-year-old kid in the middle of the night at a mall. I always found that a little weird. Like, 17-year-old kid, high school kid's best friend is a 68-year-old scientist with weird hair.
He's an old soul.
I don't question Back to the Future because it's per... Oh, wait a minute. By the way, I am showing Back to the Future in June as part of Zemeckis Fest.
Where?
Oh, at the AMC Rosemont 18, the first Tuesday of June, as part of Zemeckis Fest, which kicks off on Tuesday, May 8th with Used Cars with Kurt Russell.
Well, that must cost $1 million.
It's less than $10, and it's parking is free, and you can go to amctheaters.com for Tuesday, May 8th to see Used Cars. Reserve your seats now. It's a summer-long salute to one of the greatest filmmakers and Chicago's very own, Robert Zemeckis, who's made some of the greatest movies of all time.
Hey, but I'm going to be hungry. I want dinner.
You know, they've got dinner. They have food there. You can have dinner. Show up at like 7, have some dinner. Movie starts at 8. I'll introduce Used Cars, and we'll talk about it afterwards. It's my favorite comedy, Esmeralda.
I've heard.
Yes. Well, you've seen the movie as well.
Yeah, you forced me to.
Yes. I wish Toby were still alive. We could bring Toby in.
That would be so amazing. And then you'd have to do that thing where he rolls over.
Where he rolls over or pretends to be dead after the car runs him over.
Yes.
He only went to me, you killed my dog, mister. All he wanted was you to have this car and be happy, and now he's dead. Toby. So anyway, Used Cars, Tuesday, May 8th, as part of Zemeckis Fest, our summer-long tribute to the greatest, the Robert Zemeckis man. And Back to the Future will be a part of that. Okay, how about the anti-hero, a protagonist lacking conventional heroic qualities such as morality, courage, or idealism? Anti-hero.
I'm usually a fan of those.
Yeah. Like the outsider, the loner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dan, do you have a favorite anti-hero? By the way, speaking of which, Dan, have you seen the trailer for Venom?
I have not.
You know what the tagline is?
What is it?
Embrace your inner anti-hero.
Well, there you go.
Did you like it?
The trailer?
Because everyone hates it.
No, everybody hates it. But I love Tom Hardy, so I don't care. I don't care.
You're just there. You're like, nope, done.
Doesn't matter. Dead. Tom Hardy's in it. So, I mean, Dan, you feel the same way. I got you an autographed copy of a picture of 8x10.
That is true.
Tom Hardy. He's Mad Max, man. You don't even doubt.
Well, I think it's... I don't. See, well, everyone has so many problems with
the trailer. Well, it's the fanboys. They're nuts. They'll bitch about everything. The other thing is, I don't know... Dan, I don't know Venom. I just know he's like what the bad. He's a Spider-Man's bad dude,
right?
I mean, I saw Spider-Man 3. They did not do a good job with Topher Grace as Venom,
right?
I mean, that was terrible, and I don't think that's indicative of the character. Correct?
No, typically not. I mean, he's evolved at several points in the actual comic book from being a good guy to bad guy, and you know, but.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously they're taking a very darker turn here if they got Tom Hardy in there.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I saw the trailer. I was like, I think it looks okay to me. I don't follow it closely, and I'm sure the people who are mad about it are probably like the I would be really curious to see what you think of it, Dan, considering that, you know, Spider-Man's your favorite and
yeah, V had issues.
Did he?
He had a lot of issues. And
really?
I just watched it, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he a comic book guy?
He is and he isn't. I guess he's followed it more.
Okay.
He's something about the storyline makes no sense to the original.
All right, that's
storyline.
That's not
going
to.
I don't know.
That's not going to mean anything to me. I just want Tom Hardy to be cool. That's all.
All I heard was wah, 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 wah.
Charlie Brown's teacher began talking while you. Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, I'll Tom Hardy, man. Speaking of anti-hero, Mad Max, right there. Whether it be you know, Tom Hardy or Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's played a lot of anti-heroes. Wouldn't the nutcase from Lethal Weapon be an anti-hero because he's a nut?
That movie with Lucy Liu.
And him. Payback?
Yeah.
Yeah, shot right here in Chicago.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, oh yeah, he'd be an anti-hero in that too. I think Mel Gibson always plays anti-heroes. I think that's his forte. Although he was flat-out hero in Braveheart, fighting for his freedom. How about this one? You got to love this one, Esmeralda. The Bad Boy.
Oh, yeah.
He's the roguish macho guy. The roguish macho guy.
So who would that be?
You know, like a Sean Penn would be a bad boy because he was in the movie Bad Boys.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know why this came to mind, but Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, Christian Slater.
Right?
Yeah.
Would he be a bad boy?
Absolutely, especially in that. Well, in that, not that, yes, Heathers, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, in Heathers.
The guy from Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Bender. Bender is the bad boy who gets the prom queen at the end. They end up dating, even though he kind of abuses her throughout the entire movie.
Typical 80s.
Yeah. So, all right. Hang on, because we have to get to the battle axe. This is one of my favorites. You know the battle axe, Esmeralda?
I don't.
That's the domineering, brash, brazen woman wife. I got to go.
The jokes that your dad tells.
Exactly. I got to go home to the old battle axe. All right, we'll see. If you guys have examples, what are examples of your favorite stereotypical stock characters that you find in movies and TV? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You know, we just talked about the absent-minded professor, the anti-hero, bad boy, the battle axe. Which ones do you love? Which ones do you see in every movie that you love it? 312-981-7200. Okay, we got a break here for weather and traffic. Hey, Esmeralda, you got to be happy. It's Triple Play Thursday, so there's going to be three Monkey songs.
That's exciting.
Sam requested that. That's the Monkees with I'm a Believer. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday, man. Yep. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're going to be talking about your guide to the national parks a little bit later on with Mike Oswald after the 4:30 news. And right now we're talking about stock characters, cliched, stereotypical characters that you see in every movie. Like the battle axe, which is the domineering, brash, brazen woman wife. You know? And the henpecked husband. You always have the, yes, honey. That was especially true on TV. That was a major cliche on TV. So, here's Ike on WGN. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right.
I have two stock characters. One is the anti-hero, and one is the bad boy. Now, of course, the ultimate anti-hero is, of course, Snake Plissken in Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. That's a perfect. That is absolutely perfect. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. He's a very underrated icon, very true icon of America. Yes, indeed. And, of course, I've gone to the bad boy. I have to mention this because there's a show coming out on YouTube based on this. Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the jerk from Karate Kid, and that they're rebooting the Cobra Kai thing on YouTube. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, give him a body bag.
That's right. All right, Ike, thanks, man.
No problem.
Take care. There you go. The Snake Plissken, man, that's a perfect example of an anti-hero. He's the best. You know, they're still talking about remaking that movie. You've heard about this, right?
With him in it?
No. No. You know who? Here's the thing. Let me explain something.
He can still do it.
Well, of course he can. He's Kurt Russell. He's the king. He can do anything he wants because he is the king.
He was pretty old in that one I saw. The
Guardians of the
one.
Galaxy, yeah.
Oh, no. I was talking about the Snake Plissken.
The last one? Escape from L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was 20 years ago. So
I mean, but still, he was up in age at that point.
No, he was. You know what the thing is? I remember reading a story. By the way, that's an underrated movie. I don't care what anybody says. Escape from L.A. is a good movie. And a lot of people were like, "Who's stupid." No, it's not.
It's the only one I've seen.
That's right. How the hell have you not seen Escape from New York? I'm bringing Escape from New York in. I'm going to force you to watch it as I forced you to watch Used Cars. Escape from New York. Does V know that you haven't seen Escape from New York?
Probably, yeah.
How has he not moved out?
He didn't give me a list before we got together.
I mean, my God, my wife divorced me because I watched Waterworld one too many times. I mean, for, you know.
He likes a project.
You all get on it, man. Get Escape from New York on now. That movie rules the planet. But anyway, Kurt Russell, when they made Escape from L.A., which was 16 years after the original, or 15 years after the original. The original came out in 81. I want to say the sequel came out in 96. Yeah, 96, I think. And he said, this is a true story, because Esmeralda, you said, you know, well, he did it, you know, he still, it was, he fit into the costume.
Wow.
He could fit into the costume they wore when they shot the movie in 1980. The sleeveless shirt, the pants, the whole thing. He fit into it. I don't think he could fit into it now.
He's probably, yeah.
Well, he's like 70 now. I mean, he can't, you know. But anyway, you know who they were going to have in the original, when they originally announced the Escape from New York remake? Do you know who was going to play Snake? Have you heard?
No, I haven't.
Gerard Butler. I almost jumped out of a high-rise window when I heard that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That doesn't...
He's an idiot! Gerard Butler.
He seems a little too bloated, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, there is no other Snake. There's one Snake Plissken. His name is Kurt Russell.
What if it was the son of Snake?
No! Although Carpenter is fine with it because he gets money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as this damn Halloween movie that's coming out, people are excited about it. I can't know. And I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Carpenter gave it his blessing. He's doing the score. He's doing like an original, you know, a new score for it.
Well, he can't hate it that much.
I know, but he gets paid. He doesn't care. It's like,
yeah, but if he's going to do the score, that means he wants to put time and effort.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Danny, the other stuff, he just has to go, yeah, fine.
Danny McBride co-wrote it, for God's sake. Danny McBride co-wrote it.
What has he done? Is there anything that he has done that you don't mind?
Danny McBride?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's tough. Oh, Pineapple Express. I liked him in Pineapple Express. I thought he was funny in that.
But has he written anything else?
Your Highness, which is one of the worst. Yeah, he co-wrote that. He wrote some episodes of the Eastbound and Down, which is a show that I know a lot of people love, but I'm not on board with it.
But for you, there's nothing that he's
I can't
written.
Stand him. I can't stand him.
Okay.
But it's directed by David Gordon Green, who I like. And Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, and John Carpenter has given its blessings. And I know the trailer is coming out soon because the movie opens in October. I can't even, but it's the 40th, you know why they're releasing it? It's the 40th anniversary of Halloween, which of course makes me feel like I'm 612 years old.
You're going to watch that trailer like a hawk.
I know I am, and then I'm going to throw a computer through a window. All right, we have to break. We got the news coming up, and then more stock characters. What are your favorite stereotypical cliched stock characters? We'll be right back. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah, man. 312-981-7200. Sam requesting the Monkees. That's Pleasant Valley. Pleasant Valley Sunday. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. It's Thursday morning, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. Make sure you tune in for that. Coming up after the 4:30 news, we'll be joined by Mike Oswald, who's the author of Your Guide to the National Parks, a complete guide to all 56 national parks. It is a tremendous book, very informative, beautifully laid out with amazing pictures and lots of details. Mike himself has visited 48 of the 58 parks and has spent a lot of time there. And it is National Parks Week. So we're going to tell you how you can take advantage of these beautiful places. And Mike will give you some advice. And that's coming up after the 4:30 news. Right now, we're talking about our favorite stock characters, you know, the stereotypical characters that you see cliched throughout movie after movie after movie. Let's go through some more of these. How about the boy next door, Esmeralda? He's the average nice guy.
So who would that be? Oh, I don't know why I immediately brought this to mind. Who's the Devon Sawa in that movie where Seth Green turns into a zombie?
Idle Hands. Wow, that's so weird that you...
I don't know why I thought of that.
I love that movie. I know a lot. Dan, have you seen Idle Hands?
No, I haven't.
You know, God, of course, nobody saw that movie, which means Esmeralda has. That's the
Comedy Central, man.
Oh, they show that on Comedy Central?
I don't know. I forget. It was probably on TBS.
Yeah, I really love that movie. And really underrated, I think. I remember when it came out. You know what the thing was? When it came out, I missed it. And I didn't review it. when it came out, and it wasn't out for very long. It didn't break any box office records by any stretch of the imagination, but I had missed it. And I remember when it came out on the DVD, or maybe it was just VHS then, I can't remember, because it came out in 99. So I got my first DVD player in 2000. And I don't know if it was DVD or whatever, but I saw it at home, and I was like, wow, why didn't I see this in the theater? This movie's great. It was funny, and it was scary, it was cool. Whatever happened to Devin Sawa? Whatever happened to that guy? He was like hot for a couple of minutes, right? He was in that. He was in a few other
movies. He was in Teen Bop. The magazine.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that was a movie. I'm like,
He was up there with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, he had that. He had those moments, right? I mean, what was he best known for? It wasn't Idle Hands. There had to be something bigger than Idle Hands.
Oh, he did Final Destination.
Oh, right. He's in the Final Destination. That's
and
correct.
And he was also in Casper. As Casper when he's a person.
Oh, really? Before he like Casper before he dies?
Yes.
You mean
then spoiler alert, but reemerges.
He's Casper the Ghost.
Right. No, but he reemerges as who he was before he died.
Really?
Yeah, and then what's her face?
Christina Ricci?
Yeah, she's all like, oh, hi.
Oh, I don't remember that. I remember liking
it. Was at the end.
I remember liking the movie.
It was at the end. I forget what happens to him, but he turns into whatever person he was.
Okay.
And it's Devin Sawa.
God, I don't remember that.
She's all like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
It's all googly for him.
Sure. Why wouldn't you be? He was in Idle Hands. Dan, do you remember Casper?
I do remember Casper.
I remember. I remember liking
it. Right? And she's all like, ooh, ooh, because he turns into the person.
Personally, with all your Devin Sawa information, I think you're a little moving.
Yeah, I think something's going on over there, man.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. I have eyes.
Dan, who would also fit into the boy next door category?
Oh, boy next door category.
He's got to be nice and he doesn't get the girl or until the end. You know what I mean? Like, right. The girl always goes for the bad boy. Like, right. We talk about the bad boy. So this guy is like, just kind of stands by and goes, all right, you go out on the little date. I'll tell you that you look nice.
What about American Pie?
With Jason Biggs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that would fit.
And then he also did that other movie.
Which one?
Where he lived in the veterinarian office.
What?
Yeah, with Mina Saveri.
Yes.
Oh, is that the Woody Allen movie?
No.
No.
No, definitely not.
He's in college. I think it's called Loser.
Oh, Loser. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was wait a minute. Mina Saveri also from American Pie?
Yeah.
So they did those two movies?
Her?
Well, Mina Saveri was in American Pie. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was her.
Okay. I don't remember Loser very much.
Well, because these were around at least for me and Dan.
Yeah. No, they both came out around that time. I mean, American Pie came out in 99.
Teenage Dirtbag was the song from that movie.
Right. Oh, right. Okay. I remember that now. Now I remember it. Okay. How about the, here's another one. The Bug-Eyed Monster. That was the evil alien staple is a Bug-Eyed Monster. You know where some of the best aliens ever? Is the Mars Attacks.
Oh, those are that movie's great.
I love that movie. Six people have seen. Well, of course you saw it, Esmeralda, because nobody
that
saw
movie's
that.
Movie's awesome.
It's a great movie. It's awesome, but it tanked at the box office and it got terrible reviews. Yeah,
I mean it was a bit kitschy.
Oh, I loved it.
Who directed it?
Tim Burton.
Oh, okay, well that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that the aliens in that movie are hilarious. Like that was hysterical. And of course, as every time we mention Mars Attacks, Dan. You know it has one of the best shut-ups in the history of film.
Shut up!
Play it one more time.
Hell! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Okay, that's Jack Nicholson telling Rod Steiger to shut up. That's one of my favorite shut-ups ever.
Sarah Jessica Parker's on a dog. Her head's sewn to a little dog. Oh, so good.
Those are great bug-eyed monsters. That's like the quintessential classic alien bug-eyed monster cliche. Yeah, no, I love that movie. I remember like eight of us went to go see it. We were all very excited about it. And we went to go see it, and me and one other guy were the only people that liked it. Everybody else was like, that movie sucked. I'm like, what are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah.
Did it in general, like you said, it didn't make that much money.
It tanked and it got bad reviews.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's good. Dan, you've seen Mars Attacks, right?
You know, I don't know if I was watching it closely. I think it was on, you know.
Yeah, like in the background somewhere. Yeah.
It's just silly. Like it's a silly, fun movie.
It's absolutely. Hmm. It's very entertaining.
Those critics know nothing.
Except
you.
Except me. That's right. Because I liked Mars Attacks, so therefore... Hey, listen, I gave Waterworld a rave. I'm not a typical critic. You know what I'm saying? Escape from L.A., masterpiece. Don't, you know. Oh, by the way, off the air, Esmeralda informed me that V has also only seen Escape from L.A. and not Escape from New York.
What and we did not see it together.
How in God's name, how does that happen?
I don't know.
How do two people who didn't know each other when those movies were available not see Escape from New York and only see Escape from L.A.?
He's such a movie buff.
I know.
So I'm amazed that he hasn't seen
it. I'm stunned, quite frankly, because I know V, and he is a big movie buff.
See, that's why he's still with me, because he was like, yeah, it's okay, you've only seen
it. Oh, my God. I'm bringing in the deluxe 25th anniversary DVD. With all the extras and the beginning that they cut with the bank robbery. Did you know there was a bank robbery in the original cut, Dan?
I did not.
That's how he gets busted. And that's how Snake gets busted, but the bank robbery. And it's a great scene. I don't know why the hell they cut it. Well, I do know why, but they included on the anniversary edition Blu-ray, which I have. It's a John Carpenter movie, so I have it in my collection. Esmeralda, here's the thing. If you ever need to see a John Carpenter movie, you can ask me. Because I have all of them.
Right.
All right? If you're ever interested in any John Carpenter movie.
Are they in some sort of case?
Oh, they're all signed. They're all signed by Carpenter.
How many are there?
I don't know. 20, maybe?
How did you get him to sign?
Well,
are these separate occasions?
No. No.
What?
No, it was so funny. But let me
explain. You plunk down, you're like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, well,
sign
all
of these.
He was at Flashback Weekend, and I'm on staff there. So
I know, but like.
It wasn't like I was keeping anybody waiting. Because, like, I had time to. But no. Listen, here's what he said. Let me just explain something really quickly. By the time I had, like, my fifth poster signed, and then, like my 12th DVD, you know, or whatever, he's like. He was writing, you know, he was writing to Nick Best, you know, John Carpenter. But by like disc number 12, he just would sign John Carpenter. Didn't even look like John Carpenter anymore. Just like
I was going to say that just J.
Exactly. That I have the deluxe anniversary edition of Halloween, which has a little like it's in a big box, and it has like a miniature version of the Michael Myers mask. It's like. Can you see the camera? It's about this big, and it's inside the box.
You can't even wear it.
No. It's inside the box and it's displayed. Well, and I had him sign the forehead. He signed the forehead of but no, he said to me at one point, you know, because he knew. I mean, I did his Q&A. I interviewed him on the air. My respect and love for this man is undying, and he knew that. But by the time he got to like the 90th thing that he had to sign, he goes, "Hey, obsessed much?" But yeah, they're all signed.
Amazing, he didn't like have just a stamp.
Yeah, no, seriously. At one point, he was just like, "I'm not writing your name anymore. I'm just JC. That's it. Here it is. Get out of here." But I wasn't waiting in line for the public. But I was in line with the other staff, and so everybody was like, "Nick has to go last because the rest of us don't have 7,000 things for John Carpenter to sign." So anyway, if you need a John Carpenter movie autographed, I can get that for you.
I'll just silly put it. Silly putty yeah, it from your
and
stuff.
Then put it on a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. We got a break for weather and traffic. They're walking down the street with a bed. And they're dressed up in.
Peter's in it.
And Peter's in it.
With a little bed hat.
He's got a nightcap on.
Yes.
Monkeys. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. That wraps it up. Sam, thanks for your requests, and we'll do it again next week. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Mike Oswald is going to join us. He's the author of Your Guide to the National Parks, and it's National Parks Week, so we're going to tell you how you can take advantage of some of these great things and give you some advice. 312-981-7200. You know, one of my favorite stock characters, Esmeralda, is like the Weasley cohort. There's always like the bad guy always has like a Weasley assistant. Like in
the literal weasels.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, Roger, Roger Rabbit with the weasel.
Yeah.
I'm going to ram him. The leave no stone unturned. Squiggy is providing one of the voices from Lenny and Squiggy. He's one of the voices of one of the weasels. Stop laughing. You know what happens when you laugh too much. God, I love that movie. No, but you know the perfect example, Dan? Scott Farkas's little Weasley, in Christmas Story.
Sure.
Scott Farkas's little Weasley toad, you know, his little sidekick, you know, that guy. That's like the quintessential Weasley sidekick. So I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, because it's always like the, you know, the same kind of actors plays these Weasley parts.
Sure.
Like, yeah. You know, Sam Rockwell's played a couple of Weasley. He's played a couple of those kind of parts, too. He's not really he's not playing that anymore. He won himself an Oscar, so he's not going to play little weasels anymore. But yeah, so that's one of my favorites. OK, let's see. How about The Contender? That's always the underdog. You have the underdog, Rocky. Well, any sports movie, there's always the underdog. How about The Hooker with the Heart of Gold? That's one of the classic cliches in movies. I mean, in Pretty Woman, Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places. Hooker with the Heart of Gold takes Dan Aykroyd in when he's all he's homeless, takes him in, gives him some clothes, which are ridiculous. Let's see what else we got here. Because I'm going to hang on just for some of these. The crazy cat lady. The cat lady. Oh, now, of course, the best cat lady ever is The Simpsons. Does she ever say a word, Esmeralda? Because she never says a word, like a discernible word, right? Because it's always, when she comes.
Yeah, there might be a word in there, too. And I know there's the one. There's the origins of her.
Right.
I forget how it happened, but she was like a judge or something, right. And then something happened.
You know, my favorite part of that is not only does she come out of the house screaming like a lunatic, she throws cats. Like, she actually...
Do they, like, boomerang back to her? Or how does she...
I can't remember.
Does she, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stray cats, so she could...
But I love that she guns cats at people. Like, she comes out and she's gunning cats at
and
people.
Cats are perfectly happy doing that.
Yeah, they're fine. So, all right. We'll do more of these cliches. Maybe tomorrow we'll pick this up a little bit more on the Friday show. We got to take a break, and then after the news, we're going to talk with the author of Your Guide to the National Parks. It's National Parks Week, and this book is tremendous, and it'll help you out a lot. News is up next.